This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what that means? It's our Tuesday guest, Andrew Destin, a.k.a. Destiny's Child of the Post-Gazette. You still in Bradenton, my friend?
Yep, still here in Bradenton, Joe. Thanks for having me on, as always. Last week down here, actually, I'll be sneaking back up to Pittsburgh at the start of next week to help out Mr. Matt Venzel with a little bit of Penguins coverage. But me and Noah still down here in Bradenton, enjoying the good weather and enjoying some Pirates baseball.
Well, you guys are doing a great job down there. I'll say that. And my first question here, and Andrew is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Is Henry Davis going to make the team? I mean, we're talking about, it's almost like we forget about this guy. This would be akin to the number one overall pick in any draft, like a Steeler who's like just off the radar, or a Penguin player who's off the radar after getting drafted 1-1-1. What's going to happen to this guy?
Yeah, Joe, I think he's going to make this team. And I think there's a complicated answer to it in the sense that part of it is going to be merit, right? Part of it is going to be that Henry Davis has earned the opportunity to, if he continues to perform like he has in spring training and look like the guy who isn't necessarily as pole happy as he was last year in spring training at the plate, and he certainly was during the regular season. But I think another component to this is that I've certainly been proven wrong in thinking that Andy Rodriguez would be ready for the start of the regular season. He's certainly playing in these games. He looks fine at the plate. He looks fine in the field. But you have to wonder, would it be in his and the Pirates' best interests to have Andy Rodriguez start the year in AAA, get regular everyday bat, continue to work his way back into that top game-playing shape, rather than force him into, you know, a little bit of a complicated situation in that you have Joey Bart, who's the true number one catcher. At least that seems to be the plan as of right now, and he's earned that right based off of what happened last year. So it's a twofold answer. I think Henry Davis is looking the part of a big league catcher right now, offensively and defensively. And second, you know, a guy and Andy Rodriguez that the franchise thinks a lot of. I don't know that it necessarily would be best for him to have him be an everyday guy right now or to be in the big leagues right now.
So where would Henry Davis play then?
I think he's going to be behind the plate. And I think you can find enough at bats for him on a regular basis to keep him satisfied, engaged, and it's in the best interest of the Pirates. You know, I don't think he's going to catch more than 2-3 times a week. I think Joey Bart and him will split that up relatively evenly, but Bart will get the majority of the starts behind there. In a series, a three-game series, Davis will start at least one of the three. And then you can rotate him in at DH. I mean, I don't think it's realistic to believe that Andrew McCutchen is going to be the everyday designated hitter, and the Pirates are going to want to rotate that spot with other guys. One that comes to mind immediately is if Henry Davis hits, that could be a perfect spot for him. I think they truly do view it as he has improved so much defensively at catcher. That's a position he's most comfortable with. Keep him there rather than try and pigeonhole him into a position that doesn't really work out. We saw that in 2023 when they tried to put him in right field. Certainly he has the arm strength to do so, but that's a position that just doesn't come naturally to him, and you have to wonder if it really ever would. As of right now, they're trying to get the bat figured out. It seems to be trending in the right direction. To throw another variable at play there with changing a position, I feel like that would really not be in the best interest of Henry Davis.
So what happens to the human rain delay and Endy? Jason Delay and Endy Rodriguez, they lead the league in catchers. What happens to those two guys?
I think Rodriguez, you have him go down to the minors, and the reason that that's fine, and same with Delay, the reason this is fine is because you need to see if Joey Bart is legit. And I understand that last year he really came into his own and found a new home in Pittsburgh where he's got all sorts of family ties. But you have to remember the body of work that he put together in San Francisco was subpar, right? This is a guy who never lived up to his number two draft status. Defensively, he is a little bit shaky there. So I think this could go one of two ways with Joey Bart. either he lives up to it and is the guy he was last year, especially in the second half, home run. You figure it out later with guys like Andy Rodriguez. But at least in my opinion, defensively speaking, I think with the development that Henry Davis has had, defensively speaking, Joey Bart is probably the weakest of those four guys defensively. I'm fairly confident in saying that, but Andy Rodriguez, when healthy, is better. Jason DeLay, certainly when healthy, is a guy who the franchise and the pitchers think really highly of. They like his ability to receive. They like his blocking ability. And Henry Davis, I think, has gotten a lot better and earned a lot of pitchers' trust. So I think that if we're talking about position changes, Joey Bart feels like a more logical candidate at this point, especially considering how injury-prone he has been behind the plate and how much he is still trying to work to improve defensively and is just a bigger body guy. Maybe it would be better for the Pirates if he's the kind of guy you look at eventually down the line. I'm not saying tomorrow, I'm not saying in a week, but maybe he's the guy who it makes more sense to consider a position change.
Is Andy Rodriguez's arm all the way back? Because if it is, he really had me hit my eyes open as a possible answer, catching. I loved his enthusiasm, his leadership, his arm. It wasn't long enough for me to judge the bat. I honestly thought he was going to be the guy. Is he back to throwing 100% the way he was?
The arm looks really good. The arm really does. I think it's more so a matter of just getting everyday reps. It's you can look good in spring training, right? You can look good in fielding drills. The first time we saw him throwing down to second base on either days two or three or four in Pirate City, the arm talent looks really good. But you just cannot simulate the pressure of a big league game of throwing guys down at second base, throwing a back pick to first base, gunning somebody down, all those sorts of things. You kind of just need to get game reps in really meaningful games. And that's not to suggest that spring training games don't matter, but frankly, they don't. There's just not as much pressure. And when you're only getting four innings, five innings at a time, it's harder to get into that rhythm that you really could get into by playing four or five games a week in AAA. So the arm, it's healthy. It looks great. It's there. But there's just some stuff that I feel like with Andy Rodriguez, kind of similar to a pitcher coming back from Tommy John surgery, the arm might be perfectly healthy 12 or 14 months removed from surgery, but you still have to pitch. You still got to go through the whole rehab process. And Andy Rodriguez is healthy, but you got to get some games under your belt.
Andrew, who would you say is the leader in the clubhouse right now to play first base with Spencer Horwitz injured?
Oh, man, it's a tough question. There's just so many candidates to it, right? When you break it all down, there's the non-roster invites. There's the guys currently within the franchise. If you ask me, I would say DJ Stewart. I really do think the hitting ability that he's demonstrated in recent weeks in these spring training games, he's the most proven big league commodity of these guys. He's got the pedigree of being a former first-round pick out of Florida State. I think really highly of DJ Stewart. That being said, first base is not a natural position for him. It's been kind of a mixed bag in terms of what he's put forth defensively in these spring training games at first base. So I like DJ Stewart. Jared Triolo has a spot on this roster regardless and might be a guy who gets spot starts there. But I don't see Derek Hall making this team as of right now. Nick York could potentially be an option at first base, but that feels more like an every now and then versus a one, you know, four or five times a week kind of option. Billy Cook feels similar where it could be a spot start. I think DJ Stewart's a guy who overcomes the odds as a non-roster invite and makes his team flat out of the camp.
Talking to Andrew Destin of the Post-Gazette here. He's in Bradenton right now. How about the plight of one Bubba Chandler? Does he come north with the team? And if not, how soon?
I don't think so. I think he will eventually get up there, and that might be a time frame like a June or a July, but there's really no need to rush him, especially with the way that the starting rotation is constructed right now and with going out and getting guys like Andrew Heaney. Yes, it's not exactly an encouraging sign, and we'll hear more from Pirates team doctor Todd Tomczyk tomorrow on Johan Oviedo and the lat strain that he suffered in his return from Tommy John surgery. He's now on the 60-day IL, but at some point, Oviedo will return, so that's starting pitching depth. Bubba Chandler, there's absolutely no reason to rush the guy because, hey, he's still just a 22-year-old kid. He's still coming along. He's learning his ways. And I think a really telling moment was last night against the Yankees when he was pitching. As much as just a spring training game, it is a moment where he was maybe not necessarily overwhelmed by the circumstance, but, you know, it was a big moment. It was a big showing. And I don't think that Bubba Chandler necessarily is ready to be that alpha dog mentality guy from the absolute get-go with Jared Jones. I think Bubba Chandler certainly has that in him, but maybe he's not necessarily quite as far along as Jones was last year at this time. And the circumstances are different. The rotation is much more stacked this year than last year. So it's not a slight on Bubba Chandler. I just think it's a matter of, hey, this rotation, that's the one area where they've got a lot of depth as a team.
You sound like you're in a wind tunnel, Destiny's Child. What's happened here?
Well, we're trying to get ourselves to the ballpark. It was a late report date today with the night game last night in Tampa. So we're pulling up here and all sorts of windy breezes. But it's actually probably the warmest day down here. It's close to 80 degrees here, close to first pitch.
Are you with the NOAA constrictor?
That I am. He's leading the charge right now, following behind him.
Well, tell him I said hello. And in the meantime, boy, it is windy there, isn't it, Limits?
A little bit.
Are they going to announce the obvious here pretty soon? At least I think it's obvious that Skeens is starting in Miami, the season opener.
No word on that yet, and I'm curious to see if he actually does start the opener, because part of me wonders if it would be better for the Pirates, at least from reducing pressure and kind of paying respect to a guy like Mitch Keller. You could have Keller start the season opener and then have Paul Skeens go either second or third down there, because there's also the Tampa series. You could, in theory, go ahead and say, okay, Paul Skeens will start game number two or three of the series, and then he would be in line to start the home opener against the Yankees on that Friday. So part of me wonders, sure, it would make sense to have Skeens start opening day, but maybe it's a little bit more nuanced, you know, maybe a better approach to it to pay respect to Keller, let him get opening day, and then allow for Paul Skeens to start in a pretty big moment at PNC Park against the Yankees.
I think a lot of people are still wondering if there's going to be a big move or really any move to help in addition to the lineup and add more thump in the lineup. Are you hearing anything at all that could be the case before opening day in a couple of weeks?
No, not necessarily. I think the lineup as it is right now, this is kind of what you're working with. And part of that is, hey, Spencer Horwitz is injured, right? When he comes back healthy, they really do think he's a big component of what they're trying to do on the offensive end. So I look at it as, the starting lineup as it is right now, it's not necessarily the best in baseball. But they feel fairly confident in it. They think this is a group that, on paper, can compete, can at least tread water with other teams in the National League. I'm not necessarily as convinced as the Pirates are outwardly, but I'm not expecting a big move. I think they look at it and think that they've got enough guys who, if healthy, like Brian Hayes, like Joey Bart, who can have bounce-back years, like Jack Suwinski, Henry Davis, if all of those guys can figure it out and get back being to at least league average players or repeat what they did at times last year or in 2023, then they could have a special group offensively speaking, much more so than any player they could get in free agency or via trade at this point in spring training.
Lastly, Destiny's Child, how are things going with Shelty? We all know last year there was somewhat of a bitter feud between you two. Has it been ironed out? How's it going there with him?
It's been good. Great to always catch up with the skipper. He's in good spirits these days. It's been nice to be able to catch up with
him
down here.
That's because they're 0-0 right now.
Exactly. Yeah, well, maybe call me back again in May and see how the team's doing if they're coming off a tough skid. I remember last year when after they'd played in the Bay Area and went 1-5 against the Giants and the A's, it was a little bit tenuous on the end of that road trip. But but no, seriously, I mean, it's been great to catch up with him. It's been great to be down here. He's in good spirits. And you know, I think this team and him, they understand the pressure that is on them to win. But at the same time, there's kind of a quiet confidence and belief that, especially because of the pitching, they can be a solid team this year. Whether that actually transpires remains to be seen. It's a tough NL Central and a lot of teams who are fairly similar, but I think they believe they've got as good of a shot as any team to compete.
Thank you, Destiny's Child. We'll be reading your stuff. And again, on behalf of Limits and myself, say hello to the NOAA Constrictor.
Please.
Always do, and thanks as always for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
See you, buddy. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm. Well, they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What a nice man he is, huh, Limits? You won't find a nicer one, not even Jerry DePaula.
Well, that's very tough to compare him to Jerry DePaula.
I know.
Or Jeff Hathorn.
Or Jeff. I'm ready to go there, though, with Destiny's Child.
I'm closing in on it.
Of course, kidding about a bitter feud with Shelty, although when we hear that, can we play that clip again? This was last year when Destiny's Child was predicting when, who was it, Key Brian Hayes or somebody was going to return to the lineup?
Jared Jones.
And the Pirates were not at all in the prediction business, and we relayed that report to Shelty, and this is what Shelty said. I love that clip because it's the last person who would ever be in a bitter feud with anybody, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Could you imagine if him and Jerry started feuding? What would that look like? It would be the kindest feud.
The world would end. It would be a kind feud, yes.
It would end with a handshake and a high five and a nice little pat on the back.
Coming up, another nice man who's been successful for a pretty long time at Duquesne University coaching their women's basketball team. That is Dan Burt. Limits and I have been to a couple games this season, and I want to ask Dan some wider-ranging questions about NIL and such, about the rise of women's basketball overall. I was talking in the hallway earlier today. Cooper Flagg, I realize, is a big name, but I'm not so sure the biggest names in college basketball again this year aren't on the women's side, with Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins out at USC. I'm not so sure about that, Limits. How about you?
Nah, I think Cooper Flagg is probably one, but I put Beckers two, yeah.
Really?
I do.
Okay. Putting our face of the franchise test, if you and I traveled around every city in America and said, do you know who Paige Beckers and Juju Watkins is? Speaking, by the way, of marketing, which you want NHL to do a better job of.
Yeah.
Juju was in that State Farm commercial. She's in a lot of different places. And I said, I'm going to read you three names here in, pick a town. Pick a town in North Dakota.
Or the middle of Iowa. Or the
Are
middle
there towns
of Idaho.
In North Dakota? What is a town in North Dakota? What's the capital of North Dakota? Do you know?
Where's North Dakota State?
Wrong. What is the capital of North Dakota?
Is Fargo, North Dakota?
I don't know. Bismarck. So if you and I went to Bismarck, North Dakota, and showed up at a random bar and started asking people, which of these following names do you know? Cooper Flagg, Juju Watkins, or Paige Beckers? I wonder. And I wonder if we brought that same question to, you know, Fredonia, New York, and any other town in America you can think of. I wonder. I do. I at least think there's an argument for that. Inarguably,